Yeah, God is just so amazing. And, you know, Kim's laughing her head off over that. God is just so amazing. And, you know, we can let feelings, emotions, circumstances, situations, relationships keep us numb to who we truly are in Christ. And we've got to shake this off. We don't need to be putting up with these things because we are sons of God. We're seated at the right-hand side of God. We have all authority. We have all power. And Jesus Christ has made the way so that we can live in great blessing, great abundance, great power, great authority, moving with the wisdom of God. We need to tap into the wisdom of God. We need to ask God to give us wisdom in situations that we don't know about or know what to do about. And God is faithful. And when we go to him, then he can energize us what to do. He can open up the doors. He can remove blockades, what that maybe the enemy might be doing through situations or through our negative words. See, if Satan can get us to say the wrong thing, then he can go to work. So he wants us to say the wrong thing. He wants us to be moved by our emotions. He wants us to be moved by our circumstances or lack. He wants us to be moved by problems. Like Tom Walton had that situation with his hands. And that could have brought in worry, fears and doubts. But he knows that the power of God is real. He knows that God is at work. He knows God is with him. So we don't have to put up with all these things. You know, we don't have to go through months and months and months of being oppressed. And, cause you know, where the spirit of the Lord is, baby, there's liberty. And we're only in bondage if we allow ourselves to be there through our thinking and not bringing back what God says about us and reminding ourselves that we are as Christ is, as I think Sakina mentioned. As he is, so will we in this world. So we have great authority. And I'm going to go to a couple of records and I just feel inspired to do this. And just read a couple of scriptures out to you. I will elaborate on them later on. Here it is. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, authority, dunamis, right? Who went about doing good. As he was led, he went about doing good, not just from his own mind. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you are oppressed, it's not from God. If you are oppressed, maybe you've been listening to the voice of the world where Satan works. We don't want to be listening to no voice of the world, whether it's coming through a close relationship, husband, wife, brother, sister, auntie, uncle, the news. We don't want to be listening to those words. We don't want to take them into our heart because it builds fear, builds doubts, gets us to doubt ourselves. And then it makes the situation look so awkward. How could God change this? Nothing is impossible without God, but we've got to remember who we are. Not anything to do with us. It's to do with what Jesus Christ done. We said Jesus is Lord. And we believed in our heart God raised him from the dead and that God has given us that Holy Spirit, baby. We are clothed in righteousness. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus, right? That's who he sees, the risen one. You are light. Devils see it also. They know and tremble. They just don't want you to recognize who you truly are. They want you looking back at your past. Remember I've done those things on the paradigms? I would encourage you, go back through those little encouragements on the paradigms, those that requested it. Go and listen to them again. And it may bring things up to you, but that's good because then you can nip it in the bud. You can start saying what God says. God has given us authority through his words, whether it's written or whether it's by inspiration. And we are mighty sons of God. And this is, you know, get up in the morning, look in the mirror. You are a mighty son of God. Doesn't matter how you're feeling. Don't let those feelings overrule the truths of who you are. And so we want to go about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with us and God has given us his spirit. In Luke 4:17, it says this, and there was delivered unto him, Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, those that are in need, those that are in bondage, those that are oppressed. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Lots of people are brokenhearted. They're disappointed in life. They need hope. They need direction. They need their eyes open. And it says to preach deliverance to the captives. We let people know what's available from our true God, that they can be healed, they can be delivered, they can turn their life around. And our job is to tell people what is available from God. Our job is to connect people back to God using our word and ministry of reconciliation as God is energizing it in us. So people are captive. People are bound. They're bound by the narratives of the world. They're bound by their old programming, their old paradigms. And we got the keys of the words from Heavenly Father to bring them deliverance. And this is what Jesus Christ done. Like I said, he went about doing good. He didn't do it out of his own carnal mind. He was led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we can do this. What Jesus was anointed to do is also for us too. So he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Start healing the brokenhearted by being clear and speak the truth to people. Don't hold back. Don't pussyfoot around. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We shouldn't hold back. God gives us wisdom to speak, and sometimes we hold back because we don't want to offend, or it might just put them off. No, speak the truth in love. That's what we're to do. We're to speak the truth in love. And sometimes we might just need to be direct with someone. This can bring them great deliverance. We might wonder what their reaction be, but when we tell them what to do, and this is what they need to do, if they want to be set free, if they want to get organized, if they want to get rid of confusion, and they receive it, they walk in deliverance. And it says, and to preach, no, speak forth deliverance, speak forth good, encouraging words. We may see all reasons why that they're going through stuff, or you need to do this. Just speak God's words of life, words of encouragement, and recovering of sight to the blind, physically and spiritually, to set at liberty, freedom, them that are bruised. And then it goes on to say, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. He didn't say, he didn't do a word study. He didn't do an in-depth Hebrew study. He closed the book. He read that. He closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and then sat down. And the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him. So they was waiting to hear what God had to say, what God was working in his heart, right? It's quite astonishing, really. Like, he read the scripture, and then he sat down, and then they were waiting for him to say what God was putting in his heart, basically. And this is what we're to do. You know, God put it in my heart to go to the scripture tonight, to look at those things, and to look at those records, as the sharings were going on, and that's what I done. But now I will let the Spirit of God speak. I will let God give me the words to say. And so we don't have to put up with oppression. If you're feeling oppressed, it's not from God. If you're feeling depressed, it's not from God. And you cast it out. You command those, it's devil spirits. Command those devil spirits out. Spirit of oppression, go right now. Spirit of depression, leave right now. Spirit of confusion, leave. Spirit of sickness, go. Spirit of infirmity, go. I command you out. They've got to obey when you speak it with faith. Devil spirits don't want you to know who you are. Devil doesn't want you to know who you are. But God wants you to know who you are. And this is the authority we have. And we can't be worried about what other people think about what we say. We got to be bold. We got to speak thy word. Yes, Lord, I will speak thy word no matter what anyone says, no matter what people think of me. And people, yeah, unbelievers will talk about you. Unbelievers will point the fingers. Lots of believers can point the fingers too because they don't agree with what you're saying. But do you let that worry you? No. Once you know a truth and once you know God is energizing you, you let it rip. with the love of God, with encouraging words, right? And so this is what God wants us to do, because this brings deliverance to people, you know, and the fruit of the Spirit should be energized within us, you know, speaking in tongues, being led by God. You know, we're going to be in the right place and people will see the love of God in us. People will see the authority in us and people will want what you've got. People will want the deliverance. And then God will give us winning words. When we're being led by the Spirit of God, we will speak winning words. We won't speak words that will keep people in bondage. And then it's up to that person to then make the move to come for the deliverance. And I want to read again. We're going to read tonight. This is in my heart big time. And it's in Matthew chapter 9. If you've got your Bible and you want to follow along, you can. But I'm going to read. I'm not going to try and say this Greek word means this and this is the context of this. We're just going to read. And sometimes it's good just to read. And someone asked me, oh, what's good to read in the Bible? And yes, we can go to the church epistles, the things that are addressed to us. But I encourage, go and read about the life of Jesus Christ. Go and see how he lived. Go and see his humility. Go and see his authority. Go and see how he worked with people. Go and see his strength and how he reproved people. Also, the religious leaders, he put them in their place with love. It was always done with love. See, the love of God living in the life of a believer energizes great faith, and there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, so we will have boldness to speak. In other words, boldness is not shouting or raising your voice. Boldness is just, this is how it is, guys. You either believe it or you don't. You know, Jesus dealt with many people, many situations. If you go through the Gospels and you just read how he spoke with different people, he laid it out for them. He laid the truth. This is what you need to do. He had compassion with people. And some went away sad, you know. But we don't know down the road whether they come back or not. You know, it may not have been recorded. But the point was, Jesus had many different situations he was dealing with. Some people with devil spirits, you know, violent spirits, like the man in the tombs, you know, the guy who had the spirit, all those legions of the spirits in him. And the spirits come running at him. This guy was in chains. And they shut up. No, what are you come here for? Before the time. And Jesus Christ said, be quiet. You know, get out of this guy. And this guy was delivered. We got that authority. We have this great authority. And when we speak, we are speaking from the mouth of God. So watch your words. If you're speaking negative, they're going to come to life in a negative way. Because you're speaking from the mouth of God. Because you've got the Spirit of God in you now. We're not coming from the carnal. We're coming from the spiritual plane. We're coming from the right-hand side of the Father in Christ Jesus. So you are very powerful people. Start recognizing who you are. You don't have to put up with anything. You go to God. Give me wisdom in this situation. And stay focused with that. Don't go back dwelling with the feelings of the emotions of the situation. That will keep your faith low. And decide to live unto God fully. Decide to practice the things that we've been encouraging on there. And when you decide to do that with all of your heart, it needs a decision. Sandgate done a wonderful sharing called Decision. It's up on my website. Go and listen to it. When you decide to do these things with all of your heart unto God, no matter what anyone else says, you will see God go to work in mighty ways in your life. And maybe it's decision time to make up your mind that I'm going to move forward regardless of anyone else. I'm not going to carry any weight. I'm laying aside all the sin which so does easily beset me so that I can run my race with endurance. I can finish my course. I can bring glory to God and that God can have the best out of me because he's invested in me. He's given me eternal life. He's given me everything that I need, right? So anyway, let's get reading. I just need to take a sip of my coffee a minute. Oh, it's a good... Right, Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto him, so this is like a day in the life of Jesus Christ, right? He was on the go all the time. God had many before ordained works for him. He says, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hands upon her, and she shall live. What would you do? If someone come to you right now and said, my daughter is there, but if you come and you lay your hands upon her, I know she's going to live. Would you go? What about if you're dealing with your emotional state? What about if you just had an argument with your partner, right? What about if you got lack of money? Would you still go? Or would you let these things dampen down the real life that is within you and the real work that God's called you to do? So the focus has to be God first. And he was fully focused with God. He wasn't worried about all these other things. And I expect he had these tough times. He was touched with the feelings of the infirmities. Jesus Christ was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. And Jesus arose. Look at the humility of Jesus. And Jesus arose because he heard faith words. This got Jesus to action. He heard faith words. My daughter is now dead, but come and lay thy hands upon her and she shall live. He had faith words. This got the attention of Jesus. And Jesus arose and followed him. Humility. And so did his disciples. So the disciples were following the master. They were learning from him. Jesus at this point and at this stage in this record, up to this record in chapter 9, was doing all the preaching, all the healing, all the delivering, all the signs, all the miracles and wonders. These guys have been following and watching. And it says, and behold, a woman. So this is on his way now to raise this girl from the dead. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, I'm never going to get rid of this. This is going to stay with me all the time. No, she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Absolute. She was totally made up because obviously she's heard about Jesus. She's heard of the people that he's healed. And so this gave her hope. Our God is a God of hope. Jesus Christ was the hope. He's the anchor. Right? For she said within herself, if I may touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. As a man thinketh in his heart, been saying it for over a year now, so is he. What are you thinking in your heart? What are you saying within yourself? Even now as I speak, have you got negative thoughts arising in your heart? Get rid of them. Cast them out. Cast them out. Spirit of doubt, get out. Got no place. For she said within herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She absolutely believed everything within her heart. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, because she was from Israel, you know, perhaps she was from the house of Israel, so she was a daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour, just like Carl Morton's hand was made whole from the time he believed. Your faith. Satan wanted to sift Peter as weak, so he had no faith, that he had fear, that he had worry, that he had doubt. He denied Jesus 6 times. He had every room to condemn himself, every room to put himself down. But Jesus worked with his faith. God worked with his faith. God works with your faith. Stop knocking your faith down. If he's got it up there, if your faith is high now, don't let it go back down. You maintain your faith through your confessions, through your praying, through your speaking in tongues, through speaking the heavenly words. And the woman was made whole that hour. And when Jesus came, so now he's carried on his journey. He was just interrupted a little bit there, but he took the time. He didn't say, sorry, this girl's dead, I got to go, you have to, you know. He didn't do that. He took time. He walked with God. He wasn't moved by pressure. He wasn't moved by the distractions of the world or the pressure. Or you can't stop and speak to her. You've got to get to this dead girl, you know. Well, she was dead. She won't go nowhere soon, right? So he moved with God. And we got to move with God. We can't let people stop and start us all the time. We got to stop that. You know, and you can ask God to help you with that. God helps you in all these things. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making much noise, he said unto them, give place for goodness sake. For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. If anyone's persecuted you, they've done it to Jesus first. If anyone put you down, they've done it to Jesus first. If anyone's hit you because of your stand, they've done it to Jesus first. So that we don't have to go for that, because now we've got authority and we can move with that wisdom. But when the people were put forth, so he's chucked them out. He's got them out of the place. He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. She come to life. This is happening in India and Nepal on a regular basis. People being raised from the dead. Amazing signs, miracles, wonders, because they're moving in their authority. They're not letting the distractions and the emotions and all the things in the world take them away from moving with God first, because they've made up their mind to live unto God, to be sold out to do that. Regardless of what anyone else says, family members, friends, enemies, they're moving with God. And it says, and the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. And these guys didn't play church either. They didn't play along with the religious people. They were focused. The disciples were locked in with Jesus. They were learning. They weren't going over to this fellowship and that fellowship. They stayed with the master. Stay where you're connected. There's lots of lessons you can learn from this, and God can enlighten your eyes. It just takes a willing heart and a heart to listen to the voice of God when you're reading things. Because he's showing. God is speaking everywhere. He's speaking everywhere. He's not silent. He might be silent to us when we're so crowded out with all our distractions. Get rid of them. Because the peace that you want is in that stillness and looking to God. It's not in all the things that you think you've got to get accomplished. You just get more confusion when you put that first. Get with God first. God first. First things first. Verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men. So his work didn't stop. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. They knew where to go to get their deliverance. You know, and sometimes there's people that know where to go, but they don't come to get their deliverance. They stay week after week in their pity parties because the adversary has got them to think negative of themselves, got them to come down rather than realizing who they truly are. And when he came into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, okay, have you taken the PFL class? No, he didn't say that. He said, believe you that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he was looking for faith. Jesus was looking for faith. So he asked the question, do you believe I'm able to do this? Yes. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Where's your faith right now? Or do you have fear more than you have faith? Get rid of the fear, because God hasn't given it to you. Tell it to get out. Tell confusion to go. If your mind's a little bit jumbled up, tell it to clear out. Light shine in the name of Jesus Christ. Start saying who you are. Start declaring those great and precious promises over you. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Verse 30, and their eyes were opened. They got the deliverance. Carl Morton's hand delivered. 2 hours. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. And he said, don't tell anyone what's just happened. This mighty miracle. But the instruction here was, don't tell anyone. But they, when they departed, spread abroad his fame in all the countries. So basically, that kind of hindered him, because everyone was coming to them. He didn't have time to move and go where the Father wanted him. He had to make detours and, you know, go privately places. That's why he didn't want to tell him, because he knew everyone would come. Verse 32, and as they went out, behold, they brought him. So these blind men, they went out. And as they went out, behold, they brought him a dumb man, possessed with devils. So this guy couldn't speak. He was possessed with devils. And when the devils were cast out, why? Because Jesus had the authority. Don't forget, he was the only one doing the work at this time. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it is never so seen in Israel. And here we come, the mockers. But the Pharisee says, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. Now, there's other records that will fill that space in the Gospels, in different parts of the Gospels. But I'm not even going to go into that. But you just see that he had the authority. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was opening up blind eyes because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. We got the Spirit of God within us. We are as Christ is in this world. And devils obey. The devils don't want you to think you've got authority. They want you to doubt yourself on this. Tell you what, when you come across it, use your authority as God shows you. Devils, get out. I'm not putting up with this. And it might be coming through your best friend. But you've got authority. God will show you if you're walking by the Spirit, if you're tuned into Him. But if we're so distracted and turned up all the time and doubting and worrying and fearing, we're not going to hear that voice of God. Be still and know that He is God. He really is doing this stuff. Today, this is in the life of our Lord, our wonderful Lord and Master Jesus Christ, who made these things available to us. He freely gave it to us so that we can enjoy all these good things, that we can live the abundant life, free from all these worry, fears and doubts and lack and sickness and disease and devil spirits. They're under our feet. We're sat far above in Christ Jesus. We've got great authority. God wants us to understand it, confess it, believe it, and walk in it and start using your authority now. Now it's time to start ministering to people. Now it's time to start delivering people. Work with people's faith. We see where Jesus worked with their faith to the point of believing, where they could receive into manifestation the healing. And then 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. He went everywhere and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, of this deliverance, and the kingdom of God was nigh, and it was time to repent, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Listen, the genuine ministries will be bringing deliverance to God's people, healing, blessings, raised from the dead, lepers healed, to see all manner of sickness and disease healed. Great testimonies, giving glory to God and showing God's calling card to the world that there's something outside of them that can bring them deliverance. And it's in this world and it's in you and it's in me. The kingdom of God's within you. The Spirit of God is within you. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. So, John the Baptist had been beheaded, and his leaders were kind of lost. And there was multitudes of leaders and followers, and Jesus saw these multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted. They become weak in their faith. They had no hope. They were fainting with inside them. That's the worst thing, to have no hope. I've been there. You've been there. But God delivered us. Not to go back to it. Not to stay lukewarm. But to be hot and fervent. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad. As sheep having no shepherd. If there's no shepherd, the sheep are scattered. That's why God's given leaders. Jesus Christ was the leader. But what did Jesus say? He said, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Do you know what? There's lots of laborers, actually. They just need to be activated through these words. And God knows where they are. And that's why God brings and connects. Like, Ethel come to me. And I didn't even know. And she'd been following my website for many years. And then out of the blue, she contacted me. And she's a laborer. She's a leader. Fantastic one at that. And she connected. She pursued. A laborer will pursue. A laborer will connect. A laborer will copy. Like a tupos. A laborer will honor God. A laborer will go and heal people. Go and visit them. Go and bring deliverance to them. That's what a laborer does. They're not thinking of themselves. And a laborer will live unto God. So then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, God, that he will throw out the laborers into the harvest. Now we need to pray that God throws out the laborers. Because this fellowship has now got people on here that got their fellowships. and God's adding to them and bringing. Like, it really blessed me when I, Ethel sent me a video of her fellowship. She had, I think it was about 13 there, plus she's got a Zoom fellowship. And, but God is going to just pray, just pray. You don't have to go in search for them either. You don't have, let God bring the laborers to you. God brought them to me. Sakina, out of the blue. Fan, out of the blue. I don't, can't remember how Fan got connected. And then Kandra's joined, and then Peter Lloyd. And Peter Lloyd was encouraged to come here from someone else, and then he encouraged someone else to come. And so, yeah, and Bambi, yeah, Bambi's working, by the way. She sends her love. Marie's in Spain. She sends her love. But God brought them. I mean, like Marie, she was connected somewhere else. But God redirected her and connected them here. So, guys, this is not about our knowledge. It's not about how clever we are or who we are or who we know. It's who we know, which is God and Jesus Christ. And if we be humble and say, God, show me. Teach me to move in this way. And I'm going to live my life unto you. I make up my mind right now. I'm going to begin to live unto you. I make up my mind, I'm going to stop letting all these things that affect me, and they're not going to affect me no more, because they've got no jurisdiction or authority. I'm allowing it. So stop allowing it. Renew your mind, because you can. Just take your mind to God. That's how you renew your mind. Father, grace. Give me grace. Give me grace in this situation. Give me answers in this situation. Give me solutions, and then move and practice in the way that you know to do, how you're being encouraged. And I'm telling you, your answers will come, your solutions will come, and you won't be waiting around months. You won't be. But you've got to be sold out to the Father. That's what he's looking for. Yes, you're born again. You may have been around for many years, may know this, may know that. He's looking for commitment to him, not to me, to him. I'm going to live this way. I'm making up my mind once and for all. And I'm so happy that we're going to Nepal, because it's such a reminder. I get so, I'm doing that, what they're doing. Maybe not on the scale that they're doing it right now, but it's going to become that. And I'm looking forward to going back. I'm looking forward just to pick up what I can pick up, learn what I can learn. God, teach me. What have I missed? Have I missed anything? Where do I need fine tuning? And that's what the connections are. It gives you fine tuning. You know, it was just like Jesus. He walked, John and Andrew followed, he pursued him, and he said, come and see. That's what I'm doing when I go to Nepal. That's what Ted, Shelley, Patty Finch, and Ethel were doing. They're coming and seeing. Because these guys are doing it. They're living this thing. They're giving glory to God. They're walking in the life that we're talking about. We don't want to just talk. We want to see it doing. And some of you need to cease from your own works. Stop flitting about all the fellowship. Get connected where God wants you to connect. Practice there and you'll get blessed. Carry on, do your own thing. You'll get different answers. You don't really move forward. And let God bring the people to you. You know, I tell you what, we could have this Zoom fellowship with many people on there. I've got so many people from Africa, but I know some of them are not genuine, right? I know, because why? I've got the Spirit of God. I don't give them all the things. I don't give it to everyone. Father, you show me, and then I'll give them. I'll let them come. And I don't pursue people ain't listening to me. People that come and connect, that's who I work with. And that's what you should do also. That's what Jesus done. And if you do that, and then you just work patiently and lovingly, great encouragement, give them great praise. People need that. The world ain't giving them that stuff. Well, it's just giving them more problems and things to do. But we're getting people to go to God. And we just love them and help them. And if they don't listen, let them carry on. I don't focus with people ain't listening. You know, I command from God. I want people that are listening. Father, I come to you. I don't want my time wasted. I don't want your time wasted. Give me those that genuinely want to know. But I also know that people take time also. So you give lots of grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. Mercy upon mercy upon mercy. Like he's done with me. It's taken me all this time to get here, right? And what am I now? 57. Started when I was 16 and only started really 5 years ago. Let's be honest about things. And I don't let anyone tell me what to do anymore. I used to be, and my biggest stumbling blocks were believers. Oh, you can't do that. You're not saying, oh, I don't like you. I don't like how you do that. I don't give a crap. because I know I'm speaking for my Heavenly Father. And I've got the conviction in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And I will move in that way. If someone wants to drop off, bye-bye. Close the door behind you, please. I love you. When you want to come back, come back. I'm not chasing you. I'm not going to give you a pity party. Believe. Faith. Where is your faith? What did Jesus say? Do you believe? That's what it takes. And God gives you the words to believe. They believe because they've obviously seen Jesus do the healings, and they've heard testimonies, and they've come to Jesus. The blind man must have heard. Didn't see anything, so they were blind. But they must have heard. And then they're like, oh, maybe I can be healed. Lord, will you heal me? Like the guy with the leper. He had leprosy. Lord, you know, will thou heal me? And Jesus had compassion. He said, of course I will. And he healed him. But it's faith that will get God to move. That will get Jesus Christ activated in you and shown to the world. Faith. So let's have faith. Let's trust God. Faith is confidence and trust in the ability of God to move where you can't move and to do the things that you can't do, that he does it for you. That's the grace of God also. And it's not by our works or by our might or by our knowledge. Carl Morton hit the nail on the head. We didn't come to you with excellency of speech, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and in power. And that's where it is. It's the power of God. Energized by the love of God, the compassion of God. And these guys have great compassion in India. You know, they do. They're very loving in how they move. And they're bold as well. And they have to be bold to deal with the spirits. Get out. You see them ministering the spirits. Man, I'm excited. Don't know about you. Anyway, that's what was in my heart to share.